Good morning, church.
Buenos dias, iglesia.
Good to be here. Good to be here in the house of the Lord once again. Well, have you ever heard of the expression adulting? Adulting. I'm adulting now, some have said, especially on social media. And it means acting like an adult. And it seems to me that there needed to be a brand new term for this because our society allows people to be like a child, longer than ever before. And so when somebody is acting like an adult, one may find in social media, I am hashtag adulting. And that transition between child and adult is difficult. It's difficult, and we all get to it at various times for various reasons. Some of you may remember growing up, I don't want to grow up because I'm a Toys R Us kid, and That too was a conflict for many of us when Toys R Us was a great place to visit. Well, I have good news for anybody who is still dealing with that conflict between adulthood and being a child. Because the Bible says, the Bible will show that we have to be both like an adult and a child. And both have a place in Christianity. For example, 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, where we are to be like a baby even. And he will list in the very beginning things that babies are not capable of being like. There are certain attributes that babies cannot be like, and we are called in some senses to mimic to being like a baby. Therefore, putting aside all malice, babies don't have malice, and all deceit, hypocrisy, babies cannot be hypocrites, and envy and all slander. Babies cannot do these things, and we are to mimic that. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And there's one thing that one of the strongest forces of nature, one of the strongest expressions of desire in nature is a child for milk. When you see a child wanting milk, it is their entire reality. I want more of this nourishment. And Peter says, we are also to long for the word of God in a similar fashion. If we understand, if we know how it tastes, if we know how wonderful it is, Peter says, maintain this longing. Maintain this desire like newborn babes and putting aside the earlier attributes. One example in the Bible of somebody who's expressing this longing for the word of God is David in Psalm 119. And obviously, I cannot read that psalm today. It's the longest psalm, longest chapter in the entire Bible. But at a few points, he will say, I seek the word of God so much, I am going blind looking for it. My eyes are running out of energy to look for the word of God. And Peter's saying, like a newborn child, so we should be the same way, just like that. So we are to maintain, if possible, that childlike attitude, like a baby. But at the same time, it is not just a matter of receiving. Babies do not have the concept of giving. At that stage of their life, they're only receiving, only taking, only wanting. But at some point, the Bible says, in regarding that same word of God, we are to be like adults and give of that word. Hebrews 5, 7 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, 7 through 14. So the same Bible that says we should be like babies is the same Holy Spirit that says we should be like this. Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 7. He's talking about Melchizedek, and it says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. This is just talking about Christ. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Wednesday night class should know all about this Melchizedek character. But for this lesson, look at verse 11. concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, givers of the word, givers of the knowledge, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And this is not a compliment. The writer is not saying this is good. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. At some point, we see people who are into the solid food of our Christianity. And part of being adults is giving of that word. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Let's move beyond this partaking. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. But even though we are called to be teachers, never shall it be that we get to the point where we say, I don't want the word of God. I have enough of that. I pray we're like David, so that even at an old age, he desired the word of God. Like Peter, even as an elder writing 2 Peter says, desire it like a baby. So you see, the Bible says we can be adults and we can be children in him, in the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. Which one do I pick? What's better, being an adult in Christ or a child in Christ? Well, just like God is the Alpha and the Omega, just like Christ is a lion and a lamb, just like John says, I give you a new command, but it's also an old command. Just as we are strong in Christ, if we are weak in Christ, we are to be like children and adults in Christ at the same time. The Bible brings both sides together. The Bible brings the extremes together into one truth. Oh, and by the way, if you follow the truth of God's word, you are both liberal and conservative too, by the way. But that's another sermon. Back to being an adult and a child. Matthew 19:13-15. Matthew 19:13-15. This is our reading this morning. And here we are to be like a child, suddenly. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Is Christ saying only kids go to heaven? I hope not. I hope not. No, if we are like children, if we are like this, we can also enter the kingdom of God. After laying his hands on them, he departed from there. So when I read that, I kind of wish Christ gave a list of what a child is like. After that, a child is like this, 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 this. He doesn't do it. And so perhaps we have to try our best to figure out what he means. So I thought about six things, six ideas of what a child is like, and that are wonderful to be as well as Christians. Well, a child is trusting. A child is naturally trusting. They're naturally dependent. They're naturally loving as well. They just learn to love. By default, they love and learn to love. They are following. They follow the leaders. They have no ego. And they have no sense of style. No sense of style. But something happens in all of our lives that reduces all these qualities. All of them. We don't trust anymore when something, we sit down and the chair breaks, and I don't trust this anymore. I can't just take what I think is right and follow it anymore. We are let down by somebody, and so I don't want to depend on anybody anymore. I want to be independent, trusted in myself. Perhaps our love has been rejected, so we don't automatically open up our hearts to love anymore as we used to. Once more, following somebody may seem at times to be, I got to be a leader now. I do my own thing now. I want to be original. Ego, at some point, we begin to believe in ourselves as being awesome and special. And at some point, we begin to want to dress or appear in a way that the world approves of, what the world considers style. I remember the first day I became aware of style. I think it was first, second grade. Until then, I put on whatever I wanted to and went to school. I didn't care. I remember one day I was in a lunch line and one of the kids turned around and said, look at you, Alex. You don't match. You don't match. And everybody turned around and said, you don't match. I don't know what I was wearing. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what I was wearing. All I know is that it was apparently clashing in a very offensive way. These same kids I was in a kindergarten with, first grade with, but in second grade, suddenly, they became aware of style before I did. And I went home and I said, Mom, I don't match anymore. And from that point on, she began to help me learn what matching means. And from that point on, I began to understand. I remember the kid said to me, he teased me. He said, you look like a mismatched Lego. That's what he told me. Because apparently, it was all one color here and all one color there. Never forget that. I said, Mom, I look like a Lego. And she smiled to herself. And from that point on, she made sure that I matched. It turns out that I'm colorblind, and that's one reason why I couldn't match. And to this day, if I didn't have Nicole, I may still end up looking like a mismatched Lego in church. But after this moment, I began to be concerned about what the world standards were of how I looked, of how I dressed. And all of these things are kind of normal worldly reactions. We shouldn't trust everybody. We should be independent at some point. We should be careful who we love. We shouldn't follow anybody. We should have a bit of belief in ourselves, and we should care about how we dress. But this is not good enough for Christ. Christ demands that we get back to that earlier form of trust and childlike nature for him. Christ wants us to be like a child again. For him, to trust in him completely. When we read something in the Bible, we do what the Bible says. We don't ask or try to find proof or criticize what it says until we believe what it says. How many commandments do we need to obey the word of God? It should be one commandment now if we trust in him. It's not wrong to be dependent upon Jesus Christ. Some people have said, for you, Christ is your crutch. Yes, he is my crutch. And I'm limping along and he's my crutch and I'm standing firm. But see, people in the world fall down and don't get up again. Don't you wish you had a crutch? I do. I'm very dependent upon the Lord. To be loving again, it is so hard to be the kind of, to love, to open ourselves up to love again as God commands. But in the fellowship of the saints, especially in church, we're to love each other in that way once more, making ourselves vulnerable to pain. Yes, indeed. And we will get hurt at times, but to keep on loving each other again. To be behind the Lord. The Bible says, do not get ahead of the teaching that we have learned. There is no room for creativity in the doctrine of Christianity. Sure, be creative in every other way, but it doesn't matter. In the faith, copy what the Lord says. We have examples. Paul says, copy me as I copy Christ. Okay, I'm gonna do so. At some point, our ego makes no sense in Christianity. We didn't die for our sins. I didn't die for your sins. You didn't die for my sins. Only Christ did. Hence, we only speak about Christ and elevate him as our salvation. And we should go back to having no sense of style when it comes to Christianity. And what I mean is this. I mean that we should not let the world tell us how to express our Christianity, to let us know when to say it, when not to say it. The world cannot dictate our Christianity. Indeed, 2 Timothy 4:2 says this. It says, preach the word. Preach it. Be ready in season and out of season. That means in style, out of style. That means we may find ourselves in a situation in which it's not quite stylish to talk about Christ. Let me hide my Christianity. The Bible says, no, never, never. Never hide our faith. Never not be a Christian for anybody because they don't want you to be a Christian. Never reduce our Christianity according to the world standards. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Let's get back to being like children. But apparently, as the Bible will say, not all about being a child is perfect. A child naturally in itself is not perfect. Proverbs 22:15 says we need a little bit more. Proverbs 22:15 says that foolishness is bound up in a child. So suddenly again, we're challenged. Okay, so how do I go around this? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. It goes to show that children without guidance are foolish. It's foolishness. A child would not act good by default. Whatever good is, by default, a child would not act good. They need guidance. There's a classic book called The Lord of the Flies. And The Lord of the Flies is about a bunch of kids who are on an island by themselves. And we always assume that kids on an island would act like kids, right? No, these kids end up acting as viciously mean as adults to each other. By default, children left unto their own devices will act in the evil fashion. It's pretty interesting. That's what the book's about, Lord of the Flies. So we are to be like children, but with the guidance of God's word, the discipline of God's word. And like any discipline, as Proverbs says, discipline is not always a great feeling. It may involve a bit of pain. It might sting sometimes, proper discipline. And so the word of God does. Hebrews 12:7-11. Hebrews 12:7-11 breaks this down for us quite nicely about how we should view our Lord and Savior and our God as children. It is for discipline, it says, that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and are not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. I love verse 10. I mean, no parent is perfect. They do their very, very best for a short time. And so we come out of our parental experience being what we are based upon our parental discipline. But then God takes over. It's like God takes over and we are not disciplined based upon our parents' opinion anymore. It's based upon what righteousness truly is, what holiness truly is. God takes over. Verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And that comes through the word of God, that comes through the kingdom of God, that comes through church, that comes through our fellowship, being like a child with discipline. But back to adulting. Here's adulting again. 1 Corinthians 13:11. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Once more, we're called to move on from being a child. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. So what is he referring to? What's going on here? Is suddenly it bad to be a child again? Not at all. But in some areas, we are called to grow up. 1 Corinthians 13. Here's what he's talking about. Specifically, he's talking about people who thought they needed to have miracles and wonders and powers to have Christianity. And there are people today who think that a church is not a church unless there are some kind of miraculous expressions. And that's necessary for there to be church. And for me, I take it a bit further. It is people who believe that we have to have all the special effects in church to have church. Some people think you got to have instruments. Got to have instruments. Some people, and there's so many things that people say must be part of a church for it to be a real church. And while these things may or may not be beneficial, the Bible will say the most important factor for a church, the mature way of thinking about things, is love. It's going to be love. You show me a church that has no instruments, no special effects, all the things that we think a modern church has to have today, but if they have love, they express love, that is a proper church. 1 Corinthians 13, let's close as we talk about the mature things of what a church should be about and what it means to be an adult in the faith. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. In the great debate as to what's more important, love or knowledge or faith, the Bible is very clear. It's going to be love. And if we love God, through that love, we're going to obey the commandments. We're going to learn more about the Word of God. Okay, but love is number one and most important. And if I give all my possessions to the poor, to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. I've said before, the world, their greatest expression of love is giving to the poor. Look what I have given to people. The Bible says that is, if it's not based upon love, and not just love in terms of I love you at all, it's a love of God. It's that godly love. It's salvation love. It's sacrificial love. So even if somebody burns us up in flames, and people do that for religious reasons, if it's not through the godly love expressed and revealed through the Word of God, it ends up meaning nothing. Imagine burning yourself up, and it meant absolutely nothing. Here's adulting. Love is patient. Love is kind. And it's not jealous. Love does not brag. And it's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. It bears all things. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. When it says believes all things, it does not mean being naive. It means that when it comes to the faith, when it comes to salvation, we believe the very best that could possibly happen. That's love. Love, indeed, never, ever fails. But there are gifts of prophecy that will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. All the special effects that we think are super duper important are not as important when it comes to love. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. These are incomplete revelations. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. And so therefore, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. There are people who believe that the perfect is the Word of God. It may very well be true. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. But now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. That's adulting. But at the same time, let us not forget to regain, to get a hold of again, the innocence in the Word of God. And it's amazing. I've seen people who've lived a certain way of life and have come back to the Lord and have regained that innocence and purity of the Lord. It is possible. The Lord expects us to have both sides active in our Christianity according to the world. So regain that innocence, grow in maturity. And the Bible says that to begin that process, we have to repent and be baptized. If we combine that with faith and a lifetime of dedication to God, we can be like an adult and like a child at the same time. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.